There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Food, the news and the reviews.
Yeah, Monica is with us from Doing Dubai. Good to see you again, Monica.
Good to see you, Mark. Yeah.
Yes.
Very good to see you.
Hello, I am here as well, guys.
And Steph is here as well. Steph and Mark and Steph, really good to see you both with lots more food menus and venues.
And we've got a stack to get to today.
We have.
Lots and lots.
So we better get going, I think.
All right, then. How often do you feel on holiday living in Dubai? I rarely feel on holiday.
I do at the weekends.
Do you?
Yeah, kind of.
Because you go on those lovely fishing trips.
I do,
I see your pictures, and that is quite a holiday kind of activity.
It is, yeah. I drive out of town to the Emirate of Ajman, and I feel like I'm in a different place, and it feels like a holiday morning.
Once in a blue moon I get that feeling, but I believe with the first restaurant we are going to get that feeling.
I certainly got that feeling with the first restaurant. We were on the Palm, which doesn't really make me feel on holiday at all, and a friend of mine sort of suggested, she's heard about this restaurant, her husband's been, let's just go. So four girls, we all went there, and I think it was the setting. There was a lot of greenery and a lot of sort of nature where we were.
Yeah.
No buildings in front of us apart from the private island. I want to say one of the sheikhs lives there or something like that, and therefore I don't think there will be any building between where we were sitting and this island in front. So that's also nice. You know, there's a lot of development everywhere you look in Dubai, even if it's beachy. There's a crane here or some new building coming up there. So there was nothing of that. So beautiful setting, lots of nature right by the sea, and lots of kind of white furniture. I like that white and turquoise blue contrast sort of thing when you're on the Palm. So we're at a restaurant called Il Faro, which is an Italian restaurant. Anyone ever been there?
I haven't, no. I don't go to the Palm very often.
No. So I think for setting, it is very, very nice. You go down the Palm, you look for somewhere called Azior Residences, and it's the restaurant of the building.
Is this on the way down the main bit of the Palm,
the main trunk? And then you turn right when you see Azior Residences.
So before you get to the very bottom?
Oh, yes, yeah, much, much, much before. And then you, when you get to this Azior Residences, there are two bits to this Italian trattoria-type restaurant. And you want to say, I want to go to the lighthouse bit, which is literally jutting out on a promontory, kind of almost like it's on the sea.
And is there a lighthouse?
It looks like, no, there's no lighthouse. Of course, there's no lighthouse, nothing. You wouldn't need a lighthouse or anything there. So, go try it. I think the setting is sort of why you'd go there. And Italian food is what you'll get. They've also got a deal, if you like deals. There's a ladies' night deal on a Tuesday night with unlimited bubbles and unlimited pizza for 150 dirhams. But I quite liked it in the day.
I am a bit of a snob when it comes to Italian restaurants because I grew up in Newcastle, which is in the northeast of England, and we have some of the best Italian restaurants.
You have to take your word for that.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
We do. Gosh, with Italian waiters and there's one called Santana's that's been around for about 50 years, and every time I'm there I go back, nothing's changed in that time. So I know good Italian food can be exported, but I've been to some really grotty Italian restaurants. Not grotty in deco because nothing is in Dubai, but when the food comes you're like, this could have just been put in the oven out of the freezer, you know?
No, it's not like that. But we're also speaking later in the show about another Italian restaurant, and that is going to, I guarantee you, be more authentic than what you've got in Newcastle.
So what is this one, pizza on the Palm?
Il Faro.
Yeah,
it is,
but
Italian.
Is it good pizza? And
it is good pizza.
Pasta?
Absolutely. I didn't try the pasta, so I couldn't tell you. I liked, if I went there again, I would try the pizza again with a glass of something cold. And I would also have the melanzane parmigiana. That's what I would recommend from the dishes that we chose on that day. But we didn't eat, you know, lots of girls just don't eat pasta anymore. So I can't tell you about the pasta.
That's true, isn't
it? But the aperitivos and a drink and the views, very nice. Because it's all carby and certainly wouldn't have it.
So I had it last night for tea.
It does put weight on you. Unless you've got courgette and a courgette pasta, which we won't go down there. You won't get that in an Italian restaurant.
I think it's a myth, you know, because I haven't eaten pasta for 6 weeks. And I had it last night for tea. Nothing's changed. I mean,
you're not put any weight on.
Not at all. I think it's rubbish. Price point.
Price point. So 150 dirhams if you're doing the deal, which is unlimited pasta. Unlimited pizza and unlimited bubbles, as I said. And I want to say the pizza, if you have like a large pizza to share, sort of like 85 to 90 dirhams, depending on your toppings around there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not bad.
So now we are jumping on Shadeside Road, getting off the Palm and coming back towards the Trade Centre to the AH Hotel, which is one of my favourite hotels, actually, when it comes to food outlets.
Okay. They've had quite a lot of changes there. They've had a sort of a whole load of different restaurants that are there. And what we were there to do a review of something, I can't remember now, I'm sure I mentioned it on here, and I saw a massive big poster, and it looked like a very retro poster of kind of like Indian colours and things like that. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So anyway, sort of time goes on and we went and tried it. And I think you've been here as well, have you? This Mumbai & Co. I'm talking about.
The deco in this place is so cool.
It's very...
Describe it.
it's not like what anyone else is doing. It's not the retro look, although it has got retro elements.
Yeah, definitely retro.
Definitely, but it's more retro, like brown glass and wood panelling.
Indian movie posters from 1970. Yeah. So it was when we were young and growing up with these kinds of movies. You go in and on the left-hand side, there are proper cassettes and videotapes. I don't know what you call them, VHS videotapes. Yeah. So they're obviously for show. They're not using those to play the music. And LPs, sort of albums. So retro in that respect. So they're saying, let's just hark back to those days of kind of the 1970s or so, 60s, 70s, where this is how you would be listening to your music, etc. But the music that you hear is not from there. It's remixes of all of those things, which is, you know, quite clever. So food-wise, what did you eat, Steph? Do you remember?
We had the onion bhaji, which I think was the best one I've had in Dubai.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good.
And I've had a few.
The pakoras were good, yeah.
And we also had the one, now I don't know the name of this, so please forgive me for the way I'm going to describe it.
Okay.
It seemed like it had little tiny sugar puffs in.
They weren't sugar puffs, they're rice, puffed rice, and it's called bhelpuri, and that's what I've actually made a note of. So they serve it in a cone. So traditionally, if you were on Chapati Beach in, nothing to do chapati, chopati, in Mumbai, you would go down and you've got all these sort of little stalls that people would just set up in the early evening, and people walk down and they have a cup of like some coconut water or a little tea or something, and they'd have these, this is the original street food. So they don't bother with plates, they just twist a piece of old paper into a cone, and they do a big mix in a bowl of this bhelpuri that I'm talking about, which has puffed rice as the sort of base, and all sorts of different spices, and chutneys and coriander and onions and potatoes, and serve it to you. And this is what Steph is talking about, bhelpuri. Very, very nice. And they also do it in a sort of cone-shaped piece of paper, very generous portion. So I like that, and I would have that again and recommend it.
There's a really famous Indian chef, and she won Bake Off a few years ago. She just brought out a new cookbook.
Okay.
And she makes a version of this, but she uses cornflakes.
Oh gosh, that would not be authentic to me. No, can't get around that. And how much do you think this bhelpuri in a cone, good portion, sort of fancy hotel shake size would be? Well, it's sort of like, see that tissue box kind of thing. Imagine that into a cone. I mean, not that big, but sort of that kind of length in a cone. And obviously the cone is narrower at the bottom, so it's going like that.
I should know this because I've bought it. I'm going to say 30 dirhams.
Yeah, I'm going to go a bit less. 25.
Gosh, very good. 28. Which I thought was dirhams. Not bad. Yeah. They have got a terrace. We went when it was still too warm to sit outside. But they do have a terrace. And I think early evening sort of beverage deals as well. So if you don't want to spend lots of money and you're not sure if you're going to like all the food, go try it for an early evening drink. Couple of these street food snacks that we're talking about and soak up the atmosphere and see what you think. I think it's worth it if you're in that area.
They've got some usual cocktails. I did have to be wheeled out because I ate so much food.
I beg your pardon?
I got to the point where I was standing at the back of the building and I had to wait for my car to come. From Valley, and I said to Simon, I think I might get a taxi. I can't stand anymore. I've eaten too much.
Oh,
I felt terrible.
It's a deep fried. So if you're having sort of deep fried, you call them bhajis. No, I don't think any Indian people call them bhajis. Gujarati people call them bhajias. They're actually called pakoras, that onion bhaji that you're talking about. So they're quite heavy and they sit quite heavy. And if you're having those, it's unlikely that Indian people would have like a big meal on top of those.
Should have stopped at four. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to talk more food when we do the next restaurant I tried to get into a couple of Saturday nights ago. It was a school night, but it was full. They didn't have a table till 9:30 p.m. It's one that you're going to have to book in advance. Is it worth the work? We're going to find out in a minute.
Food, the news and the reviews.
We've got Monica with us from Do in Dubai, looking at the new restaurants, the new venues and the new menus. And I went to see Omid Jalali two Saturdays ago now. It was brilliant. But afterwards, everyone's going, where should we go for dinner?
Okay.
I've got this, guys. I've heard of something brilliant on the Palm. I'll ring. I'll get a table. I ring them up. It was full. They said 9:30, we can get you a table. And this is about 8 o'clock.
Didn't you say, do you know who I am?
I never do that because they always say no.
I'm sure that's not true.
It is
true. What restaurant are we talking about, Steph?
We are talking about Little Miss India.
We are indeed, yes. And do we know who she is? No?
Little Miss India.
Little Miss India. Yeah, so it's somebody they have created and named this restaurant after her. It's a brand new concept. It's not a restaurant that's opened in India or anywhere else and they've sort of opened a branch here. It's a new concept. She lives on the Fairmont in the Palm, on the Palm in Dubai. And I was invited to the opening, but before the opening, I had two sets of friends, not blogger related at all, both of whom had been there and absolutely loved it. So that must have been in the sort of soft opening phase. And they said, Monica, you know, you've got to try it. You've got to try it. So we went there. They had a kind of one of these lavish openings. And I think I know why you probably didn't get a table, because it's not very big. I couldn't tell you how many seats there are. There is an inside and an outside, but it isn't a very large restaurant. So they've gone down there. OK, let's just be full. quickly and kind of build up some hype about that, and people have to pre-book rather than, as we're going to talk about later, some restaurants that go for like, we must always have lots of capacity.
Yeah.
Lovely restaurant. I really, really like the decor. It very much reminded me of, oh, I'm walking into someone's house in Mumbai with the art. But it was very sort of modern. It wasn't and contemporary. It wasn't like old-fashioned sort of art.
Hang on, though. They've got a van sticking out the wall.
Well, Retro is the name of this show. It's a truck. So in India, you have these very, very brightly, we used to, we haven't been there for a long time, very, very brightly coloured trucks that have all these signs on the back, and they're painted in very, very vibrant colours, and it will say horn please, okay, ta-ta, bye-bye, and whatever, all on the back.
Are they
of
normally
it.
In the side of people's houses, though?
No, they've just done that as a sort of, you know, as a kind of like, I think they've turned part of it into a bar. There's a picture on my blog on the thing, it's called sort of Retro Dining Dubai, and you can see it. So I think that's on the outside on the terrace, and they've very cleverly turned the fender, is that what you'd call the front bonnet,
of
the truck into a part of a bar.
Oh,
so you
cool.
can sort of
cool.
sit up at the fender and have drinks. So Little Miss India, and they're just doing it like that. So it's a play on that. So very,
sounds
very
nice.
Contemporary artwork inside, dark blue velvet upholstery, but very modern, eclectic. And then they're kind of harking back to this retro thing with a truck and a nice outside area as well.
Are there just loads of girls in there taking pictures for Instagram?
No, I didn't see that many people
nice.
Doing that. Not because we went there and they had a show on. I hear you screaming, what's the food like, Monica?
Yeah. And what style is it? What cuisine?
What style? Well, thankfully, it was not molecular. So we had that whole run, didn't we? Probably up to the summer of new Indian restaurants, or sort of evolutions of Indian restaurants that felt, well, we have to have molecular, we have to have sort of all this kind of food to be noticed and to sort of be trendy and popular. It doesn't. There's not a molecular morsel in sight. It's traditional North Indian, I'd say veering on Punjabi food, and it's very, very good. So liked all the food that we got, but I'd like to go back and try some of the dishes that we didn't get on the day that we went there. There's an open kitchen which has sort of got a glass frontage, so you can see what the people are doing, and at decent price point. So you can have a vegetarian thali, so that's something I'd like to try. How much do you think that might be at on the Palm, Fairmont, five-star hotel,
well,
new, full?
I go to Karama for my thali, one of the best vegetarian thalis, and I pay 50 dirhams.
Well, that's Karama. So
yeah, it's going to be more than that. I'm going to go 150.
95, so you're bang in the middle. But I think for that sort of place, it's actually a very, very good deal. The things like the chicken tikkas and the Sikh kebabs, which are kind of standard North Indian starters that you'd have, 75 dirhams for a plate of a decent portion, which I don't think is overpriced.
No.
So if you went there and you only want, some people just say, oh, I don't want those heavy curries, I just want the dry food and a naan and then a drink or something. So that's not going to break the bank. And you can have a dinner, not too heavy, nice environment, decent food. So I think they've done kind of pretty well there.
But yeah, we are saying that you need to book in advance.
You're saying that, yes. I mean, Tharika dal as well, I've got and made a note here, 50 dirhams. So 50 dirhams for sort of a plate of you know, good dish of dal is not bad. Book, I think, probably because of the size. Yeah.
I don't know. Whenever I see dal at more than like 15 dirhams, because I'm used to eating it at Ravi's and it's well cheap. Yeah. It's like 9 dirhams or something.
The surroundings.
On the menu.
That you're
I compare Ravi's.
But
and then eating
lentil.
The dal as well. I don't think I would eat necessarily sort of equate the dal from Ravi's to the dal here.
Oh, don't you start picking on the dal at Ravi's,
all right, then.
Monica.
I won't, but
it's great.
Okay, no, so Little Miss India, give it a go. I would like to go back there. Only open for dinner, so it's not open for lunch.
Okay. Moving on to another Italian restaurant. We've gone back to Italian.
We have, absolutely. So Bianca Mozzarella & Co. is the name of the restaurant. And I actually spoke to the owner-manager, Francesco, and this is what he had to say. Have a listen to where he's from.
One of the most unique things that you can find when you come dining in Bianca is that we can guarantee that you definitely enjoy the freshness mozzarella and burrata in town, basically because we produce it locally. This is the goal behind our concept when we created this concept, because we are coming from the region of mozzarella. We were born in the region where mozzarella were born.
What is that region?
It's a Campania region, basically Battipaglia town. So because we grew with mozzarella, we have decided to create a concept where people can enjoy and eat fresh mozzarella, burrata and dairy products. And the only way to do that was to produce them locally instead to import them.
Okay.
So
fresh.
What you find in Bianca is fresh products, fresh mozzarella, fresh dairy products, and also fresh Italian food. Because this soul, this let's say, you know, this future about freshness and authenticity is not related only about dairy product, but it's related to the entire our menu. So every single pasta recipe, every tomato sauce, every pasta sauce, every dessert we serve here is fresh, is homemade by us.
That was Francesco there, who is the owner manager of Bianca Mozzarella & Co., which is the restaurant that we're talking about. It's a brand new chain. It's a chain, but it's a brand new branch.
It's a brand new branch, yeah. So the original branch, which isn't new, is actually in Box Park. And that's where I was actually interviewing him because he was down there. So we tried this burrata and the dairy products that he's talking about. Very, very good. Very creamy, very authentic, very runny. It's not one of those that's sort of sitting there.
Yeah.
So really enjoyed that. But the reason that we were talking to him was they've actually opened a brand new branch at the Beach in JBR, same name, Bianca Mozzarella & Co. And he basically makes all the dairy products here. So the shelf life, the freshness of these things is not very long at all. So 2 or 3 days' time, it goes off. So they have deliveries 3 times a week. And whatever they don't use, they just get rid of. So you can be guaranteed of the freshness. I think they import the milk, and then all the manufacturing actually goes on in a factory in Sharjah. So it is very, very fresh. And that just made so much sense to me, that if you want something fresh and that says dairy product, you cannot have a long life thing there. So very, very good. But one thing that they don't have in the Box Park branch, but they do have in the new one, which is at JBR on the Beach, is pizza, because they've imported a pizza oven from where have they got it from? From Napoli. So I think the pizza's going to be really good there, although yeah. I haven't tried it. And I said to him, you know, he's Italian restaurant, burrata's very good. You know, I went to a really nice Italian restaurant recently called Matto, and the other one I liked is Quattro Passi. And the guy is behind the opening of Matto. So he said, yes, Matto's very good. You know, that's connected to me as well. I know all about that. And then he mentioned a dish on the Quattro Passi menu, which was, I think it was the Nurano pasta as well, and he has that one. So you know, this, we were talking about good Italian food. I mean, he is linked to all of these places, and they would be three that I would mention: the Quattro Passi at what was the Viceroy but is now 5 Palm Jumeirah, the burrata here that I spoke of, and then this one called Matto, which we spoke about a couple of like last time I was on. Very, very good Italian food. So yeah, I think you should give the one on the beach a go if you're there. But if you want some burrata and you're down Box Park way, then just pop into there.
There was a chef on Dubai Today a little while ago, and he said the most extraordinary thing, and it's not something I've ever thought about before. I don't know if you've heard this before, Monica. Mm. But he said you can bring all of the ingredients from Italy exactly the same. You can bring them to Dubai, but it will not taste the same because it mixes with the bacteria in the air, and it's all about where you're making it.
Really?
Which is fascinating, isn't it? It blew my mind. So you have to work with what you've got here and make your own style of things like pizza.
I think there is some truth. I can totally relate to what he's saying, because the air is different.
Yeah.
The temperature, the room temperature would be different. So just like people's ovens are different. But I think it would make a huge difference if you actually imported the ingredients. So you're bringing in the flour that they're doing as opposed to what you'd get here. And then you deployed the same techniques that they're doing here as well. So those Italian techniques, if they are waiting 40 odd hours to let some yeast sort of do its thing, etc., I think that would make a difference. You may not get the exact same taste, but you would get something that was much more similar than someone who's just sort of knocked up some pizza dough and then rolled it out and served it to you. And the same with the cheeses that he's talking about. Yeah.
Do we have a price point for this restaurant?
I asked him about that, and I said, the pizza, which I hadn't had, for example. So it's between 40 and 65 dirhams. So he's saying, okay, we're not a high-end fine dining establishment, but we're trying to provide very good food at a mid price point range. And, you know, we're not kind of, it's not cheap to cheapo sort of place either. Between 40 and 65 dirhams, which I thought wasn't bad.
Excellent.
Either. And the burratas as well, kind of around that mid-range point. If you're adding truffle and things like that to it, it might be a little bit more. We had a very good, I can't remember the price now, but an excellent Parmigiano Melanzane there as well. Very, very large portion. You could easily split that in half and have that. So neither place is licensed, though, obviously.
Okay, so that is Bianca Mozzarella & Co.
Yeah, we're going to be heading to the middle of the city to one of Lonely Planet's coolest neighbourhoods for our next new restaurant.
Food, the news and the reviews.
Yeah, and joined by Monica this afternoon from Doing Dubai, looking at some of the new venues that we can go and enjoy some pretty tasty food, whether it's Italian, but it's Chinese coming up next,
isn't it? Sort of Oriental segment coming up. Yes, absolutely. Segments of an orange, Oriental segment. So this is a brand new restaurant, and I sort of in the break, I said to Mark, so what did you say something about National Geographic? And I had no idea what National Geographic had to, not National Geographic,
Lonely Planet.
Lonely Planet, yes. Though you said Lonely Planet and Business Bay, and I can't imagine putting those two in the same sentence, but You surprised me. What did
Yeah, it's been voted as one of the best neighbourhoods, hasn't it?
The coolest neighbourhoods for 2017, and there's only 10 around the world, and it was one of them. Yeah. I don't think it is yet one of the 10 coolest neighbourhoods in the world. I've been to quite a few cool neighbourhoods in the world, but it's great that it got in there, which will give it a lot of exposure and new openings.
And new openings. And I wonder what exactly the criteria are for when they say sort of coolest neighbourhood. I mean, maybe it is, I don't know, I'm going to look that up afterwards.
I'm sure food will play a big part.
Yeah, food will definitely. There are lots of sort of smaller places, but look, this is by no means a small place. We're at Long Teng Seafood. That's Long as in L-O-N-G and Teng as in T-N-G, not T-E-N, seafood. And it's in a place, a building called Ubora, U as in U. I don't know if you say it Ubora or Ubora. Ubora Towers in Business Bay. And very near, I mean, I can only describe it as the cheese building. It looks like a building that's got all the holes taken out. So if you're there, then you're at Ubora Towers. You know precisely sort of where in Business Bay we are, because it's like, oh, really? Business Bay?
People will definitely know that building.
They will. Yeah. So we're very, very near there. Now, what to you is very reassuring when you go to a restaurant that you haven't eaten at before in relation to... What do you find very reassuring? You think, oh, well, I'll go there because it's got...
Chinese
that.
People inside a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what I was trying to get at. So you're kind of going along thinking, should I go in there? Should I not? Chinese restaurant. And if it's got lots of Chinese people, you think it's got to be good because they're not going to be there.
No.
They're not going to eat there if it isn't very good.
No.
So that was one very, very reassuring sign. So we went there. Chinese people there. It's called Long Teng Seafood. And we went with a couple of vegetarian friends. And they were like, Monica, I've looked at the menu. There's not much for vegetarians. Completely incorrect. There is such a vast array of food for vegetarians and non-vegetarians alike. But they do have quite a lot of live seafood. So if your vegetarian friends are a bit squeamish, don't pick up the lobster like that from the tank and wave it in front of them, because that would be a bit cruel. Not that any of our party would have
done that. Is
that
something that you do, Monica?
Not me. No, not me. But, you know, don't be tempted to do that.
No.
So you were saying it's also sort of... Because this is a restaurant that you go to look at as well.
Yeah.
So you walk in, there's... I can't remember. We saw three floors. There's a lift. We ate on the rooftop. But there's also a massive aquarium with quite large... You can see on the blog on doandubai.com. Quite large. I think you would know, Mark. Koi carps, a massive fish.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Massive orange patches.
Yes.
Swimming all over the place. So you've got your mini Dubai aquarium. And then also you've got a sort of very Dubai kind of like gold, dim gold, fine dining staircase swirling all the way around going up. So it's got all the trappings, if you like. And you think, what is this going to be like? Went up there, had a very, very good evening. Traditionally, dim sum, and in London as well, it's only usually served sort of lunchtime. So after 4 o'clock in a lot of London restaurants, you can't get any dim sum. So Dubai, not like that. I think maybe Royal China as well. I can't remember. But this place, we could get dim sum in the evening. So I was very, very pleased about that. Excellent quality dim sum, because they've got the pastry's very thin, filling is very, very good, and you don't often get that right in Dubai. Any of you got a favourite dim sum?
It used to be the shrimp one. Now I tend to go for the veggie ones.
Okay,
yeah,
Mark?
I'm a shrimpy person.
Yeah, I like the prawn and chive, and I think it's a sort of classic good test of a good dim sum. So we ordered those, and that was 28 dirhams for three quite large ones. But they also do, I said, what region of China is the cuisine from? And they said it's sort of from all over. I mean, there is a Cantonese influence. But I, for the first time, had barbecued things that were sort of like okra that were made in a kind of silver foil, like aluminium foil, roasted, and then they sort of cut it up like an envelope and all the steam comes out. Sweet potatoes. I've never had that done in a roasted barbecue way in a Chinese restaurant. So in a strange way, it actually sort of did, you know, it did fit. And if you like dim sum and you want to try it, they have a really good offer on a Friday. So it's 128 dirhams for all the dim sum that you could eat. And it includes tea, sort of Chinese jasmine tea and water. And I think that's a fantastic deal to get people in there. So, yeah, I think you should go try it. Long Teng Seafood. I'd like to go back again. Nice weather to go up to the roof terrace. But I don't know that you can get the deal up on the roof terrace. You might be on the lower floors.
Well, Monica, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for those. Fantastic.
Pleasure.
Lots and lots of restaurants to go out and try. New venues and new menus on the ticket.
Love the sound of them.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.